Well, good morning. Today, I get to speak probably on my most favorite subject, and that's reaching the world for Christ and missions. I love missions. I'm not sure why I love missions. It might have something to do growing up 9 years in Europe when I was a kid. So I became very accustomed to traveling and meeting different people, flying across the ocean multiple times, learning a different language. When I was younger, I was fluent in Norwegian, and we would go to restaurants and the store, and I'd be the one that would do the talking for our family, and I would interpret when people spoke to us. So maybe through all of that, I don't really know, God was preparing me to feel comfortable to travel. And I fully understand and realize that not everybody is comfortable doing that, but it is something that I enjoy doing, and I love meeting people from different countries and different cultures. That's always been very, very exciting for me. And once a month, our church, from the very beginning, as far as I know, has taken time to set aside to talk about what is our church doing to help others around the world hear the good news of Jesus. Because it is the good news of Jesus that allows one to enter into the kingdom of God, isn't it? You saw Pastor Adam this morning. He was wearing a Global Impact t-shirt. We do have those available in the foyer if you'd like to get one. There's just $10 donation. So if you'd like to pick one of those up, you're welcome to do that and wear it next week if you'd like to. If you have a missions outfit or something from another culture over the next couple of weeks if you'd like to wear, please wear those. You could kind of tell I'm wearing one today myself. Jane and I, years ago, went to China together. And when we entered China, there was a very, very nice place that we stopped, and we had these made, custom made. She has a long skirt to the floor and top like I do. And I think together it was only like $40 or $50 to have it made. I mean, it's very, 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 very cheap. So I really kind of cherish it. And she doesn't really wears her too much. Doesn't really work well in the nursery when she's on the floor with kids. But at any rate, if you'd like to wear something like that, that'd be great. The next couple of weeks, we do have someone coming from the Middle East. We're not mentioning their country or their names. The next two Sundays, if you are not here and you're watching online, you will get something that we've done last year in our missions conference. So we're going to do everything we can to keep these people's names quiet, private, to not put them in any kind of danger when they go back to the country in the Middle East. But you'll thoroughly be blessed over the next 2 weeks. Someone, this family, our church has been supporting for decades. This has been so long, I don't remember when we didn't support them. And they are just wonderful, wonderful people. Also, in front of you, there's a card. It's the exact card that Kelly did for us on the screen. And this card, there's a little end that you can rip off. And so over the next month, as you pray and think about your financial part in missions, you could tear off that piece and put it in the offering plate, or you could just write it on a card. We don't need to know your name. It's between you and the Lord, our faith promise for the next year. This past year, the missions budget was around $160,000, and that was all given by people filling out these cards. So we want to thank you so much for your participation. And I would encourage you, if you've never participated or you're new to our church and this is something that you're not familiar with, that maybe this year you would think about doing something for missions. We all can't do the same amount. That's not what it's about, but it's how God leads us. And we make a pledge, and then we ask the Lord to bring in the money to make that pledge. You know, I've always said here for many, 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 many years that one of the neatest things would be for everyone in our church to participate, even if it's only a dime a month, just where everybody kind of shows a heart for world globalization and evangelization. So if you'd pray about that, we'd appreciate it. The theme of our conference this year is on the card, God's Heart for the Nations. And so this first screen, as I put this together this week, obviously the nations and then God's heart for the nations. I think sometimes it's easy for us who live in a more affluent world, and I know it's something I fight all the time, is to forget about people who do not have what we have. And that encompasses a lot of things. If you were to Google what people make around the world, you might be somewhat astonished. I think recently, extreme poverty was defined by this. Anyone that makes less than $2.15 per day is described as extreme poverty. And the reality of it is there's somewhere, and I know the statistics vary on what you read, but somewhere between 700-800 million to a billion people live at that wage. Now that's about 1/8 of the population live in extreme, I mean extreme poverty. Now, I've been to a lot of countries, and no matter where you live, $2 a day doesn't go very far. That's very, very, very difficult. Much of the world lives on less than $10 a day. So that even in itself is not a lot of money, no matter where you might live. So I think we could say, this isn't to put us on a guilt trip, because I'm right along with you, that for some reason, I think we have to ask the question is, why did God put me in America? You ever wonder that? I wonder that. I mean, why wasn't I somewhere where I'm making less than $2 a day? I don't know. God's grace, God's sovereignty. But maybe God's placed us here to be part of something greater than ourselves. But it's so easy for me and you and all of us to become so self-absorbed in our own lives and what we're doing, and there's nothing wrong with that, except we need to understand that there's a real world going on all around us. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, believe it or not, the world doesn't revolve around me, around you, or around us. It's so easy to fall into that trap. We're humans. We spoke last week on the last lesson in the book of Ephesians on truth. And Satan wants to do everything he can to mar truth, to really create in us this inability, if we're not willing to look to God, to look out and just see ourselves and become very, very self-absorbed. So the question is, if I were to recognize a bigger purpose, if God were to show that to me, would I be willing to submit to that, whatever that might look like? And so hopefully these next 3 weeks, starting today, that you'll be open to listening. Maybe already some of you have kind of turned me off, right? But the reality of it is this. I want to ask you another question for all of us. If you didn't know Christ today, how would your life be different? Think about that. Well, first of all, you'd be sleeping in this morning, number one, right? We know that. Or you'd be at breakfast somewhere. You'd be home reading the paper. Does anybody still get the paper? Is there such thing as a regular paper anymore? Everything's online now, right? You read the paper? Boy, you guys are really dinosaurs. How many other dinosaurs do we have? 1, 2, 3, 5 dinosaurs. But the reality of it is that there is something greater than ourselves, isn't there? And God wants us to be a part of it. And I'm so thankful that on that Tuesday or Thursday night, I'm not sure what night it was, I go back and forth, that church stopped by my door and shared the gospel. I don't know where I'd be today. I think I have some idea. Probably wouldn't be in a good place. But my family, my parents are dead now. And so without that church stopping by, I would have no confidence or guarantee that I would ever see them again, but now I do. That's comforting, that I'll see Mom and Dad again. And all the other friends that have gone on before me. So this morning is not really this kind of fire and brimstone, screaming, walking around the platform. It's basically, this is just a talk today. It's you and I sitting across the table with a Diet Coke or a glass of water, and just talking. And I want you really to process some of the things, some of the verses, some of the points. But I've asked you two questions so far. One is, What would my life look like today, and how would it be different if I didn't know God? And am I so absorbed in myself that I'm missing maybe a greater purpose that God might have for my life? I wanted to give a quick testimony. I've done this before. It's been a long, long time. But back in Missouri, when I was 20 years old, I used to go to all the services when I was younger and when I first came to Christ. And there was a Wednesday night where there was a horrific storm in Jefferson City, Missouri, really bad. And the news said, don't go out, it's dangerous. But, you know, it was Wednesday night and I was kind of young and so forth. And Jane stayed home with Ryan. And so I went to church Wednesday night and it was really bad. I shouldn't have been out. Well, when I got to church, we had a missionary speaker. He and his family were there, and the pastor and his family was there, and all the other people were there, and all the other people that were there was me by myself. That was it. That was it. Just me and the missionary's family and the preacher's family. Truthfully, none of us should have been there. At any rate, the missionary, I never will forget it, asked the pastor, he said, well, pastor, what do you want to do? Do you want to just pray and go home, or... He said, no. He said, if it's okay with you. He said, I don't get to hear many messages because I preach every Sunday. Why don't you go ahead and preach and I'll listen? And Jerry, what do you want to do? I said, I'll hang out. That's fine. I'm here already, so I might as well listen. So the preacher opened his Bible to Isaiah chapter 6, and he preached on, hear my Lord, so send me. And it was that night I surrendered my life full time to God. I was the only one in the church service. That's not a coincidence. That's very unusual, isn't it? Where you shouldn't have been there. You were the only... Listen, I was the only one there. It was kind of weird. It was like the rapture happened and we missed it. And he preached the whole message, the whole 30, 40 minutes. Just like there were 1,000 people there, which we only ran about 100. But you get my point. He just preached a regular message. And during the message, it was like, wow, Lord, why don't you send me into your vineyard, into your ministry to do full-time mission work and pastoral work. And that was the night that I surrendered to do that. I don't know, maybe during this conference, this week, next week, the third week, maybe God is dealing with you to do more in the area of mission work. Maybe God will be working in your life to maybe give more or to pray more or to help people go, whatever that might look like in your life. So I just want you to be praying this next 3 weeks in the area of missions, how God might be working in your life and dealing with you. The world philosophy wants us to miss God's purpose. He wants us so wrapped up in the things that we're wrapped up in. Right now, there are many things that we're wrapped up in. Isn't that true in our country? I'll be so glad when the first week of November is over. Create so much division, so much stuff. It'll be just be glad to just kind of move through that and move on to the next phase of our country. But with that being said, no matter what happens in November, mission still needs to carry on. Missions doesn't stop if Harris wins or Trump wins or whether they lose. Mission still goes on. Jesus Christ is still on the throne even after November. Amen? Hopefully he'll still come to church after the first week of November. Some will come to church disappointed. Some will come to church excited, but hopefully we'll still all come to church and worship and continue to do our best with God's help to reach the world. But the world philosophy wants us to miss God's purpose. So what is God's purpose? What is God's mission? Well, it's not hard to figure out. And what I want to do today is take you through the Bible quickly and share with you a pattern that goes all through the Bible. It's a theme. And it's on the card, and Kelly did a great job. But it's basically going through God's Word today to show us this theme of God's redemption. You know, the Bible from the very beginning to the very end is about redemption. It's about God reaching out to people who cannot help themselves spiritually. And you and I, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, when Adam sinned purposefully in the garden, all mankind fell into sin. And from that point on, we were stuck between a rock and a hard place because we cannot do anything in of ourselves to pacify God, to allow Him to allow us into heaven when we die, because we are imperfect. God always had a plan of redemption. He knew that Adam would sin. He knew Eve would be deceived. You say, well, why did God do that then? Because God had a plan. God had a plan, a backup plan. God always has a backup plan because He knows the creation. God is never fooled. He's never hoodwinked. He always knows what's going on. And so God had a plan, and that plan would be to send His Son to be the Savior of the world. But even before then, there was plan A. And we're going to look at plan A and take us all the way through. So what is the purpose and mission of God? Well, the purpose and mission of God is simply this: to bless His people to reach all peoples. Did you catch that? To bless His people to reach all peoples. Well, in the very beginning, we see here that God created the heavens and the earth. We know that in Genesis 1:1. We know the creation of man and woman. Then, of course, we have the fall of man into sin. Then we had the global flood because of the wickedness of man. And then we had the Tower of Babel. And during the Tower of Babel, chapter 11 of Genesis, mankind was scattered all over the world. And the languages were different. So God has to somehow, some way, regather and send someone to begin the process of bringing everybody together in heaven one day. So man needed to be regathered. And that began with a man called Abraham. So let's look. So we have Abraham. Abraham was born in the Ur of the Chaldees. That's probably somewhere up in Iraq. There's a lot going on today in Iraq or Iraq, wherever you want to pronounce it. But that really was the beginning of God's redemption plan. Think about that for just a moment. The man that God used is from the Middle East. And the Lord said to Abram, who we call Abraham, his name later was changed, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." So in one sense, Abraham was the first missionary. Think about that. We never think of Abraham as a missionary, but he was. He left his land, he left his people, he left his family. And I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. Now, we know that land that he wanted to show him is today, it's called Israel. That's where God wanted to take him. That was the land. That's what God was going to give him. "And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great." For the most part, most people in the world know of Abraham. Abraham is the father of three great religions. You know what they are: Judaism, Islam, and what's the third one? Christianity. So I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you, and I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse you. I'll curse those who obviously curse you. And this is the main reason, not the only reason, but I would say this is a huge reason why America and the Western world does everything they can to help protect Israel, because they are God's chosen people. So the question you're asking is, why did God choose Abraham? And why did God begin a new people? And why did God choose Israel as His chosen nation? And the answer is very simple, because God even says it in the Bible. He loved them, and that's the only reason. They did nothing great. They weren't better than anybody else. But God obviously had to choose a certain people group to begin the process of bringing Jesus into the world to die for the sins of the world. And so, obviously, Abraham was that chosen person. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so the question we have to answer is, how are we blessed through Abraham? We are blessed through Abraham because through Abraham came Jesus. And that's how Abraham blessed the world. It all began back in Genesis chapter 12. So he begins with a man, Adam, who sinned. Later on, he raises up a man, Abraham, and he calls him to begin the process of you and I knowing who the Messiah is that was prophesied through the prophets in the Old Testament. And we see this all through Scripture. The purpose and mission of God is to bless his people to reach all peoples. He invites us to join him on this adventure. That's the great thing about this blessing. So we have to answer the question, am I willing to be a part of where God is? You know, Rick Warren wrote a book many, many years ago, The 40 Days of Purpose. And in that book, if you read that book, he said, find out where God is and join him. And so God, obviously, is in reaching the world with the Word, helping people to know what's right so that they might make a decision to receive him as Savior. That's his mission. That's his purpose. Jesus came into the world to save people. We know that. So he invites us to join him. We can do that by praying, by going, by giving, all three. He wants us to live for this greater purpose, more than just ourselves. It's more than just building a bigger house or getting a nicer car. And look, I'm all for that. There's nothing wrong with that. But my point is, there's things that are bigger than that. Those are good, but there's more to life than just that. Am I interested in moving from what we would call a Christian to a world Christian? And a world Christian is someone that is able to see outside of their own context. The 1040 window in which we've been talking about, and we will be talking about, that's kind of the theme as well of our conference. We're really putting a lot of emphasis on the 1040 window. And the 1040 window is as such. If you look at it on the screen, you can see these major countries, this part of the world. Over 50% of the world lives in this area. A lot of people live. Over 5 billion people live in this area in these countries. This is the most unevangelized, also what we call unreached people groups in the world, live in this area. Three major religions, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and then, of course, non-religious or atheistic teachings. So here we have the majority of the world live in what we call unreached people groups. Now, what is an unreached people group? Well, let's just take the city of Bangor. 35,000 people live in Bangor. If we were an unreached people group, we would have between 2 and 4% that would know Christ as Savior. So an unreached people group are people that live in a society, a city, a country, a region, where only 2 to 4% of the people are familiar with Christ. That's not very many, is it? At all. It's very, very small. So, how do we get the gospel to people that probably many of them will never hear the gospel? Or some will hear and not receive the gospel. So how do we do this? Well, what we do is we help support people that are willing to go. In a lot of these countries in the 1040 window, and I've been to many of them, you cannot go as a traditional missionary. You just can't go into the country and start a church. that would not work at all. Well, it wouldn't work for long. You couldn't even get into the country, actually. You have to have a reason to get into the country. Are you coming in as a visitor, a tourist, a business person, a scholar? You're going to learn the language. If you put on there, I'm coming to build a church and win all of your country to Christ, you probably won't get in. In fact, I'd be willing to take that bet you won't get in. So many people in this area of the world are there either starting businesses. Many people there are there teaching English as a job. So you have to do something outside of Christianity that benefits the people that live in these areas of the world, or you, for the most part, can't get in. Obviously, you and I, unless we want to go teach English or start a business, we can't get in. So how can we get the gospel to them? Well, we support people that are coming the next couple of weeks where they are in one of these countries, and I'm sure this person will share what he's doing. But there are many American Christians in this part of the world that are doing exactly what I've said, so people can come to know Christ. Also, interesting enough, this part of the world is probably, arguably, but I think we could easily prove it, the poorest part of people in the world. Not all of them, obviously, but the largest group of people that live in poverty live in this part of the world. But we're in America. How about that? So when you leave today, and I don't mean this to mean anything than what I'm about to say, so don't read into it. We all could have been born here and still there. But God, through His sovereignty, allowed us to be born here, or to become a citizen here, or to live here on a green card, or whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter how you got here or how you're able to stay here. The reality of it is that God has blessed us by giving us the things that we have. And that's a blessing. That's a huge blessing. I think it's a blessing. You may not think it's a blessing, but I think it's a blessing. So with that being said, we see here God's mission through the Bible, His plan of redemption, His world outreach begins with Abraham, and then you see here where it's passed on after different individuals. And all of this goes back to Genesis chapter 12, all of it. All of it goes back to Genesis chapter 12, which is absolutely incredible. In fact, Isaac, who's the son of Abraham, Genesis 26, 4 says, "I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed." So we see that this promise that God has given to Abraham goes to his son Isaac. And then, interesting enough, we find that this mission God gives to Abraham, gives to Isaac, and then Isaac's son is whom? Jacob. He gives it to Jacob, Genesis 28, 14. "Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring." Even during the plagues of Egypt, Exodus 9:16, "But I've raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that by my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." The wisest man that's ever lived, Solomon. 1 Kings 10, 23 and 24. "King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all other kings of the earth. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear," this is what's important, not to hear the wisdom of Solomon, but to hear the wisdom of God. You know, even that story of David and Goliath, we say, oh my goodness, you know, look, we could be a David. The whole story of David and Goliath is not about the great things David did, it's the great things God did through David. We kind of get that missed up. That's important for us to know that difference. It's very, very important. Very important. Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth." Malachi chapter 1, verse 11, "My name will be great among the nations." Jeremiah 16:19, "O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in time of distress, to you the nations will come from the ends of the earth and say, our fathers possess nothing but false gods, worthless idols that did them no good." Well, as we think about this process and this promise that continues to come through the Old Testament patriarchs, then it's once again mentioned in regards to King David. The prophets spoke about it in their books. Obviously, Jesus came, the early church, and now finally through you and me. You and I. The gospel, the nations of the earth being blessed, we are a part of God's plan. I want you to stop and think about it for just a moment. How neat is that, that we are part of God's plan and purpose? You and I. God is allowing us to do that. And what a blessing that is. You know, you may not have thought about this, or you may not have known this, but in the New Testament, we talk about the Great Commission. Normally, when people talk about the Great Commission, they think about one verse or one text, and that's Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And I'll read that for you. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Now, this edict went to the disciples in Jerusalem, in what we call Israel today. And let me read it again. "Therefore, stay and make disciples only of your own nation." Did he say that? No. He said, "Go make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you always, even until the end of the world." So we have this global challenge by God to join Him in reaching the people around the world. The Great Commission. But you know, God gave the Great Commission five times in the New Testament. That's the first time, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Let me give you the second time. It's our memory verse, Mark 16, 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Every single person needs to hear the gospel. Let me ask you a simple question, which we're all going to say, of course. Aren't you glad that you heard the gospel? Okay, so I've heard the gospel. So wouldn't it make sense? This isn't manipulation. This is just common sense. Wouldn't it make sense that if I've heard the gospel, that I would want others to hear the gospel? That makes sense. There's a third place that the Great Commission is mentioned. It's Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached," here it is, "in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Beginning at Jerusalem, but spreading out. The fourth time the Great Commission is mentioned is in John chapter 20 and verse 21. Here it is. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So you and I have been sent by God to join His mission and His purpose. We see it all through Scripture. It's right there for you on the screen. To get the gospel to a lost and dying world. And by the way, we are recipients of that. Because the gospel was first preached, obviously, in Israel. And through that, it came to us. We are recipients of the gospel going out into the world. And then lastly, a verse that many of you are familiar with is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the world." So you will be witnesses in Bangor, in Maine, in New England, in the United States, and the ends of the earth. We are blessed. There they are if you want to write them down. But we are really blessed to know Jesus as our Savior. He redeemed us. Why did He redeem us? Here it is. Well, let me put it another way, which might connect the dots, because, you know, we don't use the word redeem so much in our circles, but we are saved, right? We get that term. We're saved. We're saved from what? Hell. We're saved from living in sin and being a slave to sin. In order that the blessing given, here it is, to whom? Aha, there it is. This is Paul writing to the church in Galatia. Remember a while back we taught verse by verse through the book of Galatians? So this began in Genesis chapter 12, long time ago. To Abraham might come to the Gentiles. I'm a Gentile. Most of you are Gentiles. We may have some Jewish people here, Jewish Christians, but most of us are Gentiles. So that by faith, not through works, not through religion, we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Remember, when Jesus left, He said, when I leave, I'm going to send you a comforter, the Holy Spirit, who's going to guide you and lead you and convict you of your sin and teach you. And so you and I are recipients of this great purpose and plan of God. And then I want to close with one verse that I'm going to read. And I'm going to close this in prayer. So here's what it's going to look like. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. Obviously, they're talking about Jesus. And with your blood, you purchased men for God. From, here it is, every tribe and language and people and nation. Did you realize that in comparison to the world population, that America is quite small? Now, Maine is predominantly a white state. We all know that, what, 95% at least? Did you know that white people, you can Google it, only make up around 7-8% of the total world population? Did you know that? So you thought everybody was white. You're horrifically mistaken. There aren't that many white people when you compare to the rest of the world. But it doesn't matter whether you're white or black or red or green or purple or polka dotted. God wants every tribe and nation and people to spend eternity with Him. Jesus died for every single person. And if you want to be involved in something greater than yourself, if you want to join God's team, I've just showed you from Genesis to Revelation that God is in the work of redeeming a lost and dying world. And over the next couple of weeks, you'll have the opportunity to do that. And I pray that you would join not only Crosspoint, but bigger than Crosspoint, that you'll join the Lord in saying, I want to be part of your mission and your purpose. And so when you leave today, I want you to leave being thankful that God knocked on your door and my door, the door of our hearts, with the opportunity to receive Him. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Father, thank You for allowing us to be here. Thank You, God, for Crosspoint Church and its emphasis on teaching the Bible, with emphasis on helping people grow, with an emphasis of reaching the world for Christ, doing our part. So Lord, I pray this missions conference that all of us would look outside of ourselves and want to be a part of something bigger. Help us, God, to prioritize you. Help us to prioritize others around the world. Many, 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 millions upon millions upon millions that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Lord, help all of us to be moved by that and to do our part, however that might look to each and every one of us. Bless our day today, we ask in Jesus' name. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. Amen.